Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan. As Westside Christian Fellowship prepares for a season of fasting and prayer, Pastor Shane reads you the 9th chapter of his new book, 40 Days to Reset Your Life, Applying God's Wisdom for Physical and Spiritual Renewal. 40 Days to Reset Your Life is available in audio form on Audible, as well as Amazon Kindle, and free electronic or PDF formats at wcfav.org. We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
A hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place.
Chapter 9, the hardest part of a fast. For most people, the endurance test takes place at the beginning and at the end of the fast. The first few days can be the hardest, and the refeeding phase can be very challenging when the hunger monster is reawakened. For this reason, I often include the refeeding phase into the length of my fast. For example, if you fast for 10 days using water, consider putting 14 days on your calendar. Too many of us can't wait to end the fast so we can indulge in everything that we missed. Although the main part of the fast may be over, you still need to be very careful when reintroducing food. And the diet following a fast should consist primarily of whole foods from plants. What you eat after the fast will determine the course of your health far more than the fast itself. Did you catch that? What you eat after the fast determines the course of your health more than the fast itself. And again, diet is the main player in the health game. Fasting isn't a cure. It simply provides the right environment for change to take place. And then the diet is really what sees us through. For others, the hardest part of fasting will be the withdrawing from nicotine, caffeine, alcohol, sugar, processed foods, medication, you name it. And we often say, fasting is killing me. It's too hard. And then we give up and blame the fast. Instead, blame a poor diet and wean yourself off of destructive habits, then try fasting. What if I become sick while fasting? Well, fasting is challenging because of how we feel. Not only is the body switching to ketones as its fuel source during the fast, especially the first few days, it's also withdrawing from these addictive substances mentioned earlier. Unlike a cold or the flu, where you simply have to ride it out, with fasting, you can eat and end the discomfort. So it's truly a mental and physical challenge. Experts are divided on whether you should push through when feeling sick or eat a small amount of food. And there isn't an easy, clear-cut answer on this because it depends on what is making you sick. That's why it's wise to have a physician monitor progress. Being dehydrated and having a low potassium level, for example, is definitely more of a concern than simply experiencing the keto flu that they call the keto flu because of the ketogenic process and the body switching over. And what results is headaches, foggy brain, fatigue, irritability, nausea, difficult sleeping, constipation, things like that. That's a little bit different than low potassium level and actually feeling sick and getting sick. I remember recently one lady texted my wife, said she was vomiting like yellow substance and felt really bad. And I encouraged her, you know, it's time to take some food in and get with your physician. And some people, physicians monitoring a fast might say that's good. The body's detoxing, but that's up to them. That's their call. They're experts in that area. I would rather err on the side of consuming a little bit, getting back on track and getting through that area of sickness before considering a fast again. Plus, if you fast for a while, it's good to take a break, let your reserves back up, and then maybe hit it again later. And for example, though, if you feel sick and you need energy to watch the kids or make an important event, you might choose to consume something liquid, such as 2 cups of bone broth, which is about 30 calories, or a scoop of protein powder with some almond milk, that's about 175 calories. Now, although this may restore minimal amount of energy, it's only temporary. Most who go this route have to deal with sickness again until detox is completed. In essence, it's prolonging the inevitable. However, in certain circumstances, it might be wise to eat a little bit of food. In the same way that a person weans off of medication, others may need to wean off of food. The liver and the kidneys can't always keep up with the cleansing if too many toxins are released while fasting. This is especially true in the case of someone withdrawing from drugs. Consuming a small amount of nutrient-dense food may help slow the effects of the detox to a manageable level so that the person can continue the fast. And they may have to do this a few times. I've done this on numerous times where, you know, I'm going 3-4 days and then I've taken a little bit of food because I have a special event, and then go a few days, take in some food. And it depends on what you're going through. Again, most fasting experts will say that's not good. You need to push through, let autophagy run its course. And I definitely agree with them. However, we do not live in utopia and in a perfect world where everything goes our way. So we have to adjust sometimes. Diehard fasting advocates, again, won't agree with that approach, but I'm not going to let a few calories sidetrack me, and neither should you. If a small amount of calories helps a person eventually accomplish their goal, is that a bad thing? Granted, again, I want to be clear, it's good to push through not feeling well if you can and experience the full benefits of autophagy. A man full of hope is a man full of action. That's why I want to give people hope and encouragement even through the difficulties and challenges fasting. And again, take it to the Lord. He might want you to push through. As they say, we're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats. So it depends on what boat you're in on how you proceed in this area of fasting. If you decide to consume a minimal amount of calories, be aware that it can spark hunger and hinder ketosis and knock you out of autophagy for a short time. The more calories you consume, the more the healing process will be hindered. For example, 30 calories from bone broth won't hinder healing much at all, in my opinion, but consuming 400 calories from juice will definitely set you back. Drinking juice hinders ketosis and stops autophagy for many, many hours. When possible, I recommend withdrawing from caffeine and sugar and processed foods and all this for this very reason. Get through those withdrawals, and then the fasting is not as difficult. The maintenance challenge. Another big challenge is maintaining results and not reverting back to old eating patterns after the fast. There have been times when my joints felt great while fasting, but instead of eating healthy, I went back to chips and crackers as well as meat and dairy when the fast was over. Even though the food was technically organic and people would say, oh, Shane, you eat so healthy. Well, it wasn't the best choice. My definition of eating healthy might be a little bit different than yours. Mine is God-given food, not chips and crackers with refined oils. And even though they might have organic on the label, Doritos has organic on the label. Better choice than normal Doritos, but you're still getting some of the processing of making that chip. But that's a whole nother section. Just because a label says organic, even the Oreo cookies possibly, doesn't mean that the food is beneficial, especially if it's man-made, contains things as emulsifiers, refined oils, sugars, a maltodextrin, which is a high glycemic carbohydrate, and so on. So the best choice, when possible, is organic, God-given food that has not been altered, enriched, or modified. For those wondering what exactly organic means, I would just direct you to the internet, and you can find more there, but it's basically a product that is certified organic and it has that seal. It must be grown or produced with no synthetic herbicides, pesticides, or fertilizer. That means chemicals that are man-made. And that means no Roundup or glyphosate. So that's where they would nail it down to that. The article continues, organic not only bans synthetic herbicides like Roundup, it prohibits the use of hundreds of chemicals, additives, preservatives, colorings, and more. Organic companies often use natural chemicals, but not synthetic ones. Now, during this maintenance phase, keep in mind that healthy isn't always helpful. A friend of mine, Dr. Daniel Pompa, recently commented about his visit to a leading health food store chain. He said this, "I was stunned by how many harmful ingredients I found, even in supposedly paleo-friendly or super healthy snacks." One example he gave was how many food companies are allowed to slide in up to half a gram of trans fat per serving in their food and still claim their food is trans fat free. If you eat quite a bit of servings of this, you're getting many grams of trans fats. That's where that word hydrogenated, partially hydrogenated oil comes from. They're injecting, I believe, hydrogen gas into the fat molecule so that it won't go rancid, and it's not good for our body. 99% of beef sticks, for example, are preserved by coating them with citric acid. Another example, according to independent laboratory tests, is when they tested certain brands of hummus and they found to be contaminated with high levels of glyphosate. Remember, that is the weed-killing chemical in Roundup linked to cancer. So know what you're consuming is the bottom line. Motivation challenge. Motivation can be very challenging during a fast. So I found motivation by listening to the experience of others and by reading helpful books. You can see the recommended reading list at the end of this book. If you're listening to the audio version, I'll try to mention that towards the end. And I was also motivated at the end of October 2020. My daughter did a lengthy fast. I've watched videos from others do a lengthy fast. And it really motivated me, and it will motivate you too if you're listening to those things that motivate you to fast and not discourage you to fast. Now, having a background, though, in health and fitness, I could tell that her body was doing great, and I encourage her to keep going. I was able to monitor my body as well. But again, you might want to get with a physician if you're experiencing muscle twitching, diarrhea, palpitations, extremely low energy levels that can often be fixed with taking some type of trace mineral supplements. The sleep challenge. Many people have a hard time sleeping because fasting raises hormone levels and that can cause restlessness. So let me just tell you this, it should be expected. It should be expected. Stay up late if you need to, read a positive book, but don't fight it. It comes with fasting sometimes. Now you can take something called valerian root or 5-HTP. They're natural sleep aids, basically. And the 5-HTP is a byproduct of the amino acid L-tryptophan, which raises serotonin. And fasting experts, so again, would say, don't do it. Just drink water and get 4 hours of sleep if that's what you need now and then. But sometimes we need some natural remedies. And I'm not against that. And also keep in mind, though, your body will feel cold when fasting, especially at night, because the heat is not being produced from digestion. So there's changes to blood flow along with slower metabolism and things like that can lead to feeling cold. Again, all these are normal things that happen with fasting. A quick note on weight loss and weight gain. What you might find is, depending on how much weight you lose at the beginning of the fast, say 2 to 4 pounds a day, the large amount of weight that is lost in the first few days is primarily from stored glycogen being depleted in the water that holds it in. So here's how it works. You lose, sometimes people lose 4 or 5 pounds a day for a couple of days. Man, I'm down 15 pounds in the first week. And then they eat again. Well, you're going to gain half that back very easily. And you should not be worried about that because you're replenishing the glycogen and the water that comes with it. And that's not fat right there. And you should be able to gain half of it back and then maintain the rest, healthy diet, keep exercising. And you can keep that fat burning going. You don't have to gain any of that weight back. It has to be fat whatsoever. Now, if you take in too much, your body begins to eat too much, you can revert back to fat storage. So the longer the fast, the more weight you'll lose, but expect to gain some of that weight back. That's normal. It's to be expected. So if I'm trying to lose 15 pounds, for example, I might lose 22 pounds because I know I'm going to gain 7 of that back. And again, this is just an example. Best to stick with a plan in place that your physician has given you so they can help monitor your progress. Should we keep our fast private? Well, I'm not going to say too much about this because people say, Shane, you need to keep your fast private. Look at what the Bible says. Well, in Matthew 6:16, Jesus didn't say not to tell anyone. He said, don't boast, don't brag. It's the opposite of humility. Don't give the impression that you're fasting and showing off. How do we know he fasted? How do we know anybody in the Bible fasted? Because they told us, if the heart is right, it's acceptable to share a fasting experience with others if God releases you to do so. There are times, however, to keep it private, not saying that there's not. But sharing our experience can motivate and encourage others. Fasting changed my life, and I simply want to share this great biblical truth with others. But be careful. It may not be wise to share what you're doing immediately with friends and family, especially those who will not agree with you. Many think that it's weird or extreme, or you're gonna die, you're gonna starve yourself. They have no clue by how the body works. If anyone has any stored fat on their body, they are designed to use that as fuel. You actually don't go into starvation mode until you've depleted your fat storage. In most cases, that can take well over a month. And their negative comments can knock you off track and discourage progress. And I even recall one such day in 2019 when I walked into the church ready to preach a message God laid on my heart during a 9-day water fast. And one of the older members said something like, Shane, you look too skinny. You need to eat. And sadly, that man needed to lose quite a bit of weight, probably 50, 60 pounds. He was in poor health, and my heart broke for him. And even though I was able to refocus, I still remember his words. It was discouraging. So be encouraged. Don't look to what others say. Look to what God says. Surround yourself around godly counsel. Take it to prayer and fasting. Be encouraged. Look at motivational videos. Read motivational books. And stay encouraged in God's word.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, be sure to check out the links in the description to get your copy of 40 Days to Reset Your Life, Applying God's Wisdom for Physical and Spiritual Renewal. You can download the book for Kindle on Amazon or for free in PDF or electronic format at wcfav.org. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Eidelman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today. And join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at ShaneEidelman.com. Again, that's ShaneEidelman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.